You may be seated, but before you do that, if you can scoot in and make any room, miraculously, we are adding chairs again. Well, good morning, church, and there are a few seats spread out. Our ushers will help you find a seat. I want to just begin by celebrating God's faithfulness to us. That psalm, Psalm 145, is a psalm exalting the name of Jesus, exalting God for his goodness, his mighty works, and we are so thankful that we get to be able to do that this morning together. We had a full service at 8:30. I can't imagine, again, that we're already putting out chairs in the second service we've ever had in this space, but we are trusting God and his faithfulness to us, and we are so thankful. I know many of you are here are guests, and we're thankful. I don't know if that's me, but I'll fix that. We're thankful that you're here with us to celebrate this day. What a joy it is to fellowship and to see this place full of worshipers of King Jesus. As I begin just giving thanks, today we're going to remember what God has done, and we're going to look forward with anticipation over all that God will do in this place. And when I think about what God has done, I have to begin by giving thanksgiving to my family. My wife, my three sons, now my two beautiful daughters, and their extended family are here and friends, and I am so thankful to them. The scriptures tell us to give honor to whom honor is due, and a long, long time ago in a place far, far away, God began to stir in my heart a calling to come to this place and to see what God would do as we strive to plant this church. And all along, every adventure and every turn, my beautiful bride, Laurel, who's here, has been an encouragement to me, has blessed that and has said, okay, I guess we're just gonna trust God. And her faithfulness has been such a blessing to us and ultimately to all of us together as a church family. I also have to give honor to my sons. When we began this journey, back in 2011, when we moved to this city, they were really small, and I don't think that we couldn't have comprehended what God would do here. We didn't just set out to arrive here, but they have been faithful and have been constant sources of encouragement. They've grown up to be young men who are the greatest cheerleaders of their dad, and I'm so thankful to each of you, and you bless me tremendously. As I'm giving thanks, I also want to thank our elder team and trustees who are a part of helping us lead and discern what does God have for us today and in this moment, and they've been that way all throughout the life of our church, and so I'm so thankful. If you are serving, have served, are serving as an elder or a trustee, and you're here in the sanctuary, would you please stand just so we can give you thanks? I saw a few of you, and many were in the first service. I don't know where they are. Frank's being bashful as always. Pat and Ben are here. Thank you guys. So grateful for their leadership and the way that they have rallied around us. We're so thankful. I'm also really, really thankful for each and every one of you. I think about getting to this point. And we got here because so many of you were faithful to join us along the way at some point or another and give sacrificially to allow this building to be built, serving sacrificially to allow us to build up the people. And we've talked over and over again about we're not building a building. If all we set out to do is build a building, or if that's all that happens here, then it's a failure. Because what God is doing is building us up as a people. And I look around and so many of you have been on this journey with us. So many, even in recent years, have jumped in and said, I will give, I will serve. And so we want to thank you for the way that you've given to allow this to happen. It requires resources to build buildings, and you have done that. And so thank you so much for your sacrificial giving to make this possible. The last group that I want to thank is our amazing staff team. They are right now scurrying around, so I don't even know if I can have them stand. Kyle is here, but our staff team is an amazing team. And over the last few weeks especially, they have poured themselves out in ways that you really can't fathom. The hours that they've given, the way that they have tried to just do everything possible to allow us, one, to get to this moment, to gather in this space, but just creating all that we have as a church family, we have an amazing staff. And so if you are a staff member and you're in the room, stay standing as you're running around. But can we just give our staff team a round of applause? And from that staff team, I want to ask Pastor Kyle Hendrickson, our executive pastor, to come on the platform. Kyle has been on this journey with us almost from the very beginning. And when we think about this particular journey of venturing out to build this space, to navigate all the ups and downs of a building initiative and then construction and all of that, he has led our staff and led us so well through this. I began and I have visions. I look at lights and colors and herringbone patterns and all of those types of things. But when we get down into the weeds of actually making this project happen, successful, monitoring all of our finances and resources to do that, Kyle's the reason that we're here. And so I'm so thankful to my brother. We couldn't have done it without you.
Thanks, brother.
And I'm so grateful for you. And thank you for being here. And I wanted Kyle to come up because he has been the relationship with so many of our partners primarily. And we have a lot of partners that have made this possible. And so thank you, Kyle. Thankful for you.
Thank you, Ryan. Hey, how about it, y'all? We're here. Yeah. We made it. And it is a joy. Thank you for your patience with the parking lot and coming in. And I just want to inform you, we do have an 8:30 service. So you may like getting up earlier next week. I don't know. But thank you, really, for your patience. This is a glorious day to just celebrate what God's done in our community and our church through you. And there's so many people that have helped me. I was ignorant as it came to building a building, and just through steps of obedience, laying it before the Lord and just trusting him, he gave us some incredible partners to make this happen, professional partners. And so I just want to thank those really quickly. First being and foremost, Texas Republic Bank, who would allow us even the financing to enter into this, that they trusted us enough. Yeah, we can give it up for them. And between David Beatty and Tom Heslop and Jerry Song, who are here today, I'm just so grateful that they would say, we're going to take a chance on City Church because of what they've done for the community so far and what they see us doing for the community in the future. And so I just want to thank them. Secondly, I am a terrible drawer. I can't draw anything to save my life. I can't even hardly write my name. And so being able to partner with Park Hill has been a joy, our architecture firm. And really, we've had a relationship with them all the way back from 2019 when we didn't know what God was doing with us, where we were supposed to go. We knew we had another location in mind, but weren't sure. And they have been with us and journeying with us from 2019. And it's because of them, they designed this building to be as efficient and as effective for ministry and hospitality as it possibly could. And so I'm grateful for Nick Cooper and for Robert Weeks and for Ray Thomas and Using and just the opportunity to just be able to partner with them. And so thank you. Thank you, Park Hill. And finally, our commercial partner who made sure things were happening on the ground, Ashton Commercial, we entered into, who are owned by Mike and Nick Morton. We're grateful for them and just getting all the different subs out here and making the reality, or making the drawings that Park Hill had submitted a reality. And so thankful for Ashton Commercial, who actually put this whole thing together. Yeah, let's give it up for them. And finally, the man that deserves the most respect in this room, that actually allowed us to even have the opportunity to worship today, that somehow finds 77 hours a day to work. His days were long. They were tiring. He put up with a lot of questions from me, mostly from Ryan, but a lot of questions for me and not knowing what was going on and, hey, what does that look like? What is this? But our superintendent, who has been with us in the heat day in and day out, Henry Mortimer, if you would stand in the background. He's in the back row, the humble guy that he is. Henry Mortimer. And I knew that Henry and I were going to be good friends because I don't know if you see that beard, but he knows. Beardliness is next to godliness, so I'm grateful for you, brother, and this is great to see all these people here, and I hope you can rest and worship with us, so I'm thankful for you, man. So Hey, let's greet one another. If there are some seats, I do see some down here. For those that are in the lobby, we would love for you to come in. I see some seats still around as we're kind of mingling about, greeting one another. Find some seats, move forward, and we're going to continue to sing in just a moment. But let's stand and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Glory, you're the only one. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone?
The name of Jesus Christ, my
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
One more.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, among the many things that we're doing today, we thought it would be really a sweet thing. If we were to just pray together out loud, would that be all right? And so we actually prayed a corporate family prayer last week, and we're going to do it in similar fashion today. And we're just going to ask God all throughout Scripture, and especially in the New Testament, there is this idea that God is building His church. He's building this beautiful family and this beautiful body that will be a place and a people for others outside, and people who are broken and who are hurting and who are in need of healing, in need of forgiveness, to find refuge in Christ. And we get to be the brick and mortar, if you will, of that place and of that people. And so, as we've done in the past, I will pray the leader portion, and then people, congregation, body of Christ, you'll respond with the people portion. All right, here we go. Let's pray. You said, I will build my church. So Lord, build us, the people. Build us upon Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Build us on the living word of God. Build us into one another, your church. Lord, make us. Make us a holy people. Make us a spiritual house. Make us one body, yet many members. And if you don't build us, Lord, we labor in vain to build ourselves. Root us, establish us, build us in Christ. For only in Christ can we be one. And in Christ alone, we have all we need. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's pray again. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, sometimes we see it in walls and windows and speakers and foyers and all kinds of things. But Lord, your faithfulness is all around us. Every day, you're faithful to us. Every moment, you're faithful to us. And every moment, you're with us. You're not just faithful in a far-off place, but God, you are imminent. You're near. And you delight in us being more aware of your nearness. And so today, as we celebrate this milestone, this huge, huge point in the life of this beautiful church, I pray that more than anything, we would delight in you and your love for us and your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a seat.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, David, and to the worship team. Just for blessing us, leading us in worship. What a sweet morning it has already been as we think about and celebrate what God has done. This morning, this is a unique and special service. And again, I want to just thank you for being here. It's just amazing to think that last week we sat in a sanctuary that sat 225 people. And now we have 550 seats out initially, and that's still not enough. I don't know exactly how that maths, but God, and through His Spirit, is clearly doing some really beautiful and amazing things here, and we're grateful that we get to be here together. I want you to just give thanks as we think about what God has done. Look at this beautiful treehouse that we get to live in, surrounded by God's beauty. That was very intentional. Scriptures teach us that creation testifies to the glory of God. And so as we worship together, we get to look out on the beauty of God's creation and remember that He cares for us. We get to look at that cross that is intentionally illuminated so that our eyes would be cast to Jesus and to the cross, not to a man, but to what Christ has done for us. And I am so thankful for this beautiful space. What we're doing this morning is something that the saints of the Old Testament did many, many, many times. As God would lead them, God would give them instructions to establish an Ebenezer, not the guy from the Disney movie, but an Ebenezer, a moment, a place, an altar where they could, I don't know, it's not me, maybe it is, there we go, I'll move, I got that beard, Kyle, got a problem, the old mic didn't do that, but they would establish an altar where they would acknowledge and they would remember God's faithfulness. They would go on their journey, and as they came back to that space, as we read in Psalm 145, they would tell the next generation of what God has done. And so we get to do that a little bit this morning. As we build this Ebenezer, I want you to have an opportunity to hear from some saints who were with us in the very early days. One, it is right to give honor to them, but more than that, what I really want you to hear from them is the prayers and the hopes, because as I look at this room, you, so many of you who have joined us in the last whatever season, whether it's been today's your first day at City Church or in the last few months or last few years, you are an answer to the prayers that we prayed so fervently in those early days. We prayed that God would see our city transformed and that he might establish us and use us in this way. And so I want you to hear from these who've gone ahead of you so that you might know that it's simply simple steps of obedience that God uses. I think about, again, where we are today, this moment. As Bubba Watson said as he was receiving the Master's green jacket, I never got this far in my dreams. And I can tell you, we didn't ever imagine or plan that we would arrive in this moment on this day. All that we did as God's people, all that I and our family and then those that came around us did was take one step in front of the other. One step of obedience, one step of faithfulness. And church family, there's not one of us in the room filled with the Spirit of the living Christ that can't also take whatever step of obedience God might be calling you to do. And out of that step of obedience, you just never know what God might do. You never can imagine. And so we are thankful, and I want you to be encouraged as you hear these testimonies. I'm going to invite four individuals to come up to the platform and join me and share briefly, I know, they were mad at me for giving them only a few moments, but to share a little of the story, and they represent the story of many families that were with us in those early days. James Pickett, who was one of our first elders, he and his wife Jennifer and their family. Tyson King, who was one of our first trustees. Kate Garrett, who's a recent graduate from our Melissa and moving on, and Leanne Richardson, who was our first women's minister, and they were all here in those early days. And so I'm so thankful for each and every one of them. James, you want to grab that mic? Nope, sorry. I didn't give you instructions. That's on me. And come and share. And I want you to again hear, friends, I want you to hear the testimony of what God has done and be encouraged about what God can do.
If you only knew the miracles that I've seen, it's overwhelming here. When Ryan asked me to say a few words but keep it under 2 minutes, I thought, man, you know I'm from Louisiana, and I can't even say hello without telling the story. And so, especially in under 2 minutes, but I'm going to try. I think I came, I don't know, maybe 3.5 to 4 last time. We'll get there. A few things. First of all, I'm no one special. I'm just a guy from Ball, Louisiana, that the Lord brought to Melissa many years ago. And I remember being in Ryan's living room when City Church was birthed. And I remember the school board meeting when we went and we were not sure that we were going to be able to secure a lease for the middle school because it had not happened before. And I remember the U-Haul truck where we would load up church for years and years in the heat and the cold, pushing the cart up a ramp and falling back down and picking it back up, and the wheels would toggle off. It was funny. I remember the pigeons in the rafters, the leaky roof, the rickety chairs, and Ryan's obsession with uniformity and how the chairs needed to be lined up in the gymnasium. I remember the middle school ladies' bathroom that needed a ladies' touch, as my wife Jennifer would say. And I remember the children's church runners underneath the curtains. They would escape. We would do children's church and have curtains to separate them. Every once in a while, one would crawl out, and we'd have to go put them back in. And then dodgeball tourneys after church in the gymnasium. But I also remember a young man and his wife that gave up the comforts of a well-paying large church ministry position. They had benefits, all the luxuries to go, and they decided to plant a church in Melissa on nothing more than their faith in God's calling. And I know Ryan's mentioned his family, but what a blessing they've all been. And Ryan, I'm so glad you married Laurel Ross, who's just been a rock for our church. And we just love y'all. Same goes for Kyle, doing the same thing, and his wife Jessica. Got a few bass players out of it too, I believe, right, Carson? I remember putting out signs on the street corners in Melissa with David Garrett before church, and Jason McDowell as well. And David reminded me not long ago that we would pray in my truck. We'd pray in my truck, Ryan, that we would not have enough chairs for the people of God who he would bring to us. In a church that didn't have a facility for youth, but we opened up our homes on Wednesday nights. And I forget what we were running, but we were running about 120 in church, and I think we were running about 250 in youth on Wednesday nights. And so that's the story of our church, where kids could gather and hear about Jesus and have fun. I remember a church that would transform Melissa into a D-Nail destination for middle schoolers and high schoolers every January. And then I also remember a church that walked alongside me when I lost my dad, and then I lost my mama, and then I lost my best friend, and then my marriage was falling apart. My kids were in middle school and high school. Those were tough years, not because of them, but just because of those years are just tough. I remember thinking that my anxiety over work and my financial issues would get the best of me as a husband and as a father and as a friend. But the Lord was faithful to me and my family because of you all, because of our church, because of our community. When people ask me to tell them a little bit about our church, I like to use the term DNA as a metaphor. We have a unique DNA here. DNA is the most remarkable molecule known, and it contains a complete instruction code for building and operating every living organism on earth. And there's an author I love to read. His name is John Lennox. He's a Christian Oxford mathematician, he's an apologist, and he states that the DNA code for the human genome is 3.5 billion letters long, and it's essentially our unique name that God has given us. And as a church, we have a collective DNA that's unique to us, that God spoke to us back in 2014. Here's a little bit of that DNA that I want to mention, and my prayer is that we would continue to replicate that same DNA along the way. And that would be my prayers, that this place would be a place where grace abounds and is our default expression. A place that is a place of rest and a place where it's okay to not be okay. A place where marriages are healed and families are restored and nurtured. A place where strongholds and addictions are broken. A place where abiding and deep friendships are made not because of who we are or what we are vocationally or where we are politically or what we bring to the table, but because of our God-given capacity to love each other and to be a friend to the friendless. A place where the first seek to become last, and where the last are placed first, possibly for the first time in their life or in a church. A place where we learn not to judge a person's exuberant worship of the Lord, but instead we join them in celebration and what the Lord has delivered them from. I learned a long time ago not to judge the way a person's worshiping, because you don't know where they were and where God has brought them. A place where each of us feels comfortable to bring any friend, any family member, any church-wounded soul on any Sunday, because we know without a doubt they'll leave feeling loved and recognize us and him by the way we love one another. And lastly, a place where Jesus is always the name above all names and is our one and only hope and model for our life. So, thank you.
I'm Leanne Richardson. The Richardson family moved to Melissa in 2012. And we knew a couple of families here in Melissa at the time. We made the long journey from McKinney, probably like many of you. We just began to meet other families right away who loved Jesus and really lived their lives on mission for him. And even at the time, what was then middle son in fourth grade said, "Mom, is every family here a Christian? Like, is that a criteria to live here?" And I said, "Well, no, not exactly." But it did make me wonder and ask God, "What are you doing here in Melissa, Texas?" At the time, this little town was 5,000 people. What might you do that you have positioned these families to come together in this small community? And I just began to be curious about what God might be up to. And it wasn't long after that we met the Rosses and others who gathered and said, "What might God do if we were to link arms and try to impact our community for the gospel?" And so we began meeting, and again, as James said, nothing special about any of us. Our yes was on the table for the Lord, and we've been transformed by the gospel, and we wanted our city to be transformed by the gospel. So we began to meet, and we met in homes, then we met in a gym where there were birds and rickety chairs that collapsed on people nearly weekly, so you should just feel a sense of security in these nice chairs we're in. We then met online during COVID. Then we met outside. Unbeknownst to us what the Lord was up to, but God, with a favor, allowed us to meet in the Vineyard for Mother's Day, the year of COVID. And that will go down as one of the most special Sundays for me. We had not been together, and so we had not seen each other. And so we worshiped outside, and the Holy Spirit was there. If you were there, I think we could all attest to that. It was amazing. And then the Lord, through his providence, gave us this property, and we met in, as of last week, what is now known as the old worship space that's under construction. And now today we sit in this beautiful new space. And I marvel at all God has done. As I look out in this room that is day one overflowing, I just marvel at all that the Lord has done. And it's not because this room is amazing, and it is, it's beautiful, and it's the Lord's provision, but it's because of the people that he has brought here. And God has built this church because a few of us linked arms and said, "What might God do if we tried to impact our city for the gospel?" And I just want to say that is still what God is doing. Nothing's changed. What might God do if a few of us families link arms and we're transformed by the gospel and we go out and we try to impact our community together for the gospel? What a joy. Again, I can't believe all that God has done. And I just see evidences of his goodness. And the miracle is not that we were able to accomplish this as such a small plant church, but the miracle is all of you, all of us sitting here together, that we know the Lord, that we love each other, and that we are still trying to impact our community for the hope, or with the hope of Jesus. What a gift, what an honor. So nothing has changed. My prayer for City Church Melissa is that we would continue in the immeasurable greatness of his power at work in us and through us. Through his power, we are being built together with Christ as the cornerstone into the dwelling place of God. God is not building buildings. God is building a people. We are his people, and he is our God. And he is good and faithful. And so I just testify, me personally, it's been one of the greatest joys of my life to be a part of this church. The families that we have grown into, the family of God that we have grown into. We have, some of you didn't have kids when we started, and some of you, your kids were babies and you're sending them off to college here in a few days. We've sent our babies off to college. We've watched them become adults and get married and have babies, and man, to start to see the fruit of just God's goodness in our, at work in our lives. It's amazing. So much joy. They will know us by our love. And we are not a perfect people, but man, we do love each other. So I love you guys. And it's just been an honor for the Richardson family to be a part of this journey with you. And I just want to say, keep going. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thanks.
Awesome. Hello, my name is Tyson King. In 1963, a meteorologist by the name of Edward Lorenz went into a conference, and he had a theory. He called it the chaos theory. He said, if he was speaking to a bunch of scientists, and he said, if a butterfly flaps his wings here in Melissa, Texas, it will move molecules that move molecules that move molecules, and it will create a tsunami on the other side of the world. And they laughed him out of the room, and he went left with his tail between his legs. In 1991, a group of scientists came back together and said, Edward Lorenz was not only right, can it affect weather patterns that a molecule that moves a molecule that moves a molecule can cause a tsunami in China? He said, but it also can happen with people, and it can happen for the kingdom. In 2014, my wife said, we're going to church. It's a start of a church. And I said, where is it? And it's in a gym. I was like, I am not stacking chairs. I was very godly. And she said, just shut up and get in the car. We're going. And we have five kids. I say, all boys except for four girls. And if you know what it's like getting kids ready, they were under the age of, I think, 10 or 11 at the time. And we went to that gym. And by the end of the service, we're stacking chairs. And we were on our way. And but as I walked into that gym that day, some of the people that are here, the Knights, I'm not going to start naming everybody, but whew, y'all started flapping. Whew, 2014. Whew. We went to Kenya, the Reyes family. I see you, brother. Y'all flapped. And started moving molecules. I got one, thanks to y'all, wants to be an international missionary. How many 6th and 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade kids are in here? It's tough, huh? Those are some tough years, especially for girls and especially for my oldest. And if it wasn't for this church, I don't know where we would be. That kids program, I don't know where they were. They were behind curtains, in curtains, under curtains, but they were flapping. And we were called to Arkansas to start a Christian camp, outdoor adventure camp, and we had our first summer this summer, and my wife and I were sitting in the back watching my daughter that had all these issues, and thank God for you flapping your wings. Give the gospel to campers, and we're just crying back there. And she tells the story about her time here and how you guys flapped and poured into them. And it changed their life, and now we're doing a camp, and 20 came to Christ at our camp this summer because y'all flapped your wings. Now, God has a sense of humor, and this is so awesome that y'all had to bring in chairs. That is so great. The God's like, okay, here's what he wants. Here's my prayer for you. See, we'll flap while it's comfortable. We'll flap, maybe a little flap. What God wants is you're comfortable. He wants you to step out of your comfort zone and start flapping. And if your heart starts thumping, that's the Holy Spirit saying yes. He wants you to give more than you've ever given. He wants you to serve more than you've ever served. And I can tell you, it's a reason why they're stacking chairs, because he's going to say, oh my gosh, it's the next, we got to do the next project. Where's the next project going to be? And what I pray for you, each of you, is you step out in faith, flap your wings, and watch how you're going to change the world. Because if you don't know, there's some people out there that don't, especially all over the place, right, that don't know Jesus. And all you got to do is say, come with me to this building and let these guys, and watch what happens. You'll change the kingdom. Thank you guys for having me.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kate Garrett, and I've had the privilege of being a part of City Church Melissa since the very beginning. I remember our families meeting in Pastor Ryan's living room, all the adults downstairs, of course, and the kids upstairs watching movies. It was awesome. To stacking chairs, hanging curtains, all the things. I remember having to catch curtains and poles from a random kid falling through. I remember the day I got baptized, my pregnant mom slipping on water and taking down all the curtain walls. It was awesome. But I just remember it all. It was a joy to be a part. It was a joy to grow up in. To say that God has been faithful is truly an understatement. He has shown us to cling together as a church body. He has taught us through trials that we never saw an end to. But most of all, he has given us his son. This church has taught me how to lead and dive deep into my faith. It has challenged me and humbled me to understand the depths of God's love greater. This staff is steadfast and consistent. They're intentional with each person they encounter. Although it is such a gift to have this structure, we understand our foundation that we came from, a foundation that is truly built off the Word of God. Looking out in the crowd, I'm thankful to have been a part of this church and call it home for all of my life and all of its life. It is a bittersweet feeling when the opening day of the sanctuary is the last day before I leave for college. But I'm grateful for its kindness, for his kindness in us all gathering here today. My hope for this church is that families would continue to say yes to God's will. A yes is what brought us here today. My other hope for this church is that our church body would buy in and create community. My prayer is that we know no matter how big we get, we remember where we came from. I'm thankful to have been raised by such a wonderful church family, and thank you guys for loving me so well.
Amen. Thank you. Stay with me. I call her Katie Bug, and Katie Bug has been with us since, as she said, since she was really, really small. I think she was four years old when we planted the church. And this week, she's leaving to go to college. And I asked her to speak last because I want you, church family, to see her and to know that as we raise up Psalm 145, declare to the next generation the greatness of God. And that's what we have the opportunity to do. We've had the opportunity to do that. I look out on this room and I see so many of our young people that are here, have come back home to celebrate with us, just like Kate, who have gone out into the world as Caden, Tyson's daughter, has, and made much of Jesus wherever they go. And I am so thankful for what God has done in this place. And so, as they all shared, we must keep going. And so I'm so thankful for you, and we will continue to pray over all of them as they head off to college next week. I'll take that from you. Can we give them another round of applause? Just thank them for sharing. And that leads me to church family, what I want us to remember today. We're going to spend a few minutes in just a moment and pray and ask for God's blessing over this space, this building, dedicate this building to the Lord and to his ministry. But I want us to remember the mission that God has given us. I spoke a couple weeks ago on the book of Acts at a camp, and I led the camp through the entire book of Acts. It was a little bit of an aggressive thought that I could get through an entire book in a few sessions, but we went through the book of Acts, and the reason that I taught from that book was I wanted those families to know that what God started there at Pentecost when he sent his Spirit and filled the believers with his Spirit, and he gave them the commission to go, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. We are the recipients of that promise and of that commission, and we have an opportunity, not just an opportunity, we have a calling on our lives to continue to faithfully and obediently follow that. This room, yes, it is full of people right now. Each and every one of you has a life and a story. And each and every one of us has an opportunity to engage with one another, to make disciples, to encourage, to rally around people, as you heard those four testimonies. And so as we build this Ebenezer, as we think about what God has done, let us not grow weary in doing good and continue to keep the mission ahead of us. This is not a day that we say we have arrived. Yes, we are building a marker here today, and we are celebrating God's faithfulness here today. But this is not the end. In fact, it's so much less than that. It's much more of a beginning for us. And so as a church family, our responsibility is to remember the mission that God has given us. And remember that the same Spirit that filled those believers all the way in the book of Acts that we read about over and over and over again, doing miraculous and marvelous things, he is still at work in us. And our responsibility, as Kate and James and Tyson and Leanne shared, is simply to just take one foot and put it in front of the other. I am grateful for the kindness that has been shown to our family and to me personally. I want you to know our testimony is simply this. We took one foot and put it in front of the other. We didn't see exactly what was ahead of us, and we said, the Old Testament saints, we got our feet wet, we stepped into the Jordan, and we watched as God split the seas. And that's what he has done here. And so we give him all the glory and the honor and the praise. And I don't know what the future holds for us, but I do know this. He will finish what he has started. The end of the story is already written for us, and our responsibility is to simply be obedient. And so I'd like us to take a moment to give thanks to God and to prayerfully dedicate this space to the Lord. I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is dedicating the temple that he built to the Lord. He's acknowledging that the Lord has built this place. It's a house for him. And so I'm going to echo his words as we pray together. Solomon, in verse 22 of chapter 8, stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You have kept them. Lord, we thank you today that you are like no other. You are God and we are not. You are sovereign over all things. You keep your word. You keep your promises to us. And you show great love towards your servants. And so we thank you for how you have done that for us. Solomon speaking again, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea. O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day towards this house, this place of which you have said, my name shall be there. Father, we thank you for this space. And we do ask that you would keep your eyes, which never rest upon it, that you would bless this space. Holy Spirit, that you would fill this space, and that all who walk in this space would be able to declare, to say to you, God is there, his people, his love. And as we pray in this space for generations to come until you return, Lord Jesus, may you hear the cries of your people from heaven and answer. Solomon speaking again in verse 56. Blessed be the Lord God who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise which he spoke by Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, with which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, and may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, as each day requires, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Heavenly Father, be with us as you have been with us all of these years, since you stirred up in our hearts to establish this place where your gospel would be proclaimed. We thank you that you have never left or forsake us, and we thank you, Jesus, that we can hold on to that promise today, knowing that you will never leave or forsake us. Would you hear from our hearts and lead us to walk in your ways, to keep your commandments, to live with your holiness, your obedience, your truth. As we pray, again, we ask that you would hear our prayers and that all the peoples of the earth, through the ministry of this church, would know that the Lord is God. You are God, and there is no other. Thank you, Father, that we can declare these truths. We can pray these prayers over this space, and we can give you thanks. Glorify yourself in us, and in this space, we pray in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Before I step down, I want to invite Joe Patton to join me on the platform. Joe has preached in our church before. If you don't know Joe, I want you to know that Joe is the reason that we're all here. Long time ago, as God was stirring something up in my heart and I didn't know how to put words to that, Joe approached me one Sunday and said, "Hey, do you want to have breakfast?" I said, "Sure." And he said, "Okay, let's go to McDonald's." Joe and I met at McDonald's, and he called out the calling of God on my life that I had not been able to put words to. And he spoke, and he encouraged me, and he blessed me. He believed in me. More than that, he believed in the calling of God on my life. And so it only felt right and appropriate that Joe would come today to pray over me and to pray over us as a church. I'm so thankful for you, Joe. I'm thankful for his friendship over many years. I'm thankful that he still takes all my jabs, loves me unconditionally, is a dear friend and a constant encourager. And he loves this church. He loves me, and by extension, he loves you so, so well. And so, Joe, would you pray over us now? And then we'll close in worship.
Father, we come before you today in great gratitude to you that a cheap cup of coffee and a conversation can change a person's life. That's you. Yeah. That's your Holy Spirit working. And we're so grateful for that. Thank you for this man. And I pray, God, that you will continue to bless him with good health and strength and the power of God's word coming through him. And Father, today we just pray as a church, a united church, to pray for the pastor always, to be thankful for him, and to lift up the staff constantly because of their great sacrificial effort of serving the people. And God, we just praise you and thank you for all that you do. Your Holy Spirit is working in this place today. We are so grateful for this place, but God, every good and perfect gift is from above. Yes. And God, we give you the glory and honor and praise for it all. We pray, God, that each person here today would just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for all the blessings that you send our way of protection and provision." God, help us to be so grateful today. So grateful for this moment in time, this first service, this special time today, God, that we would remember it in the future, that God did this, what else is he going to do next? God, help us to have anticipation in our heart always of the next thing that God is going to do in this place and what he's going to do in our lives. So God, I pray your blessings on this church in every way. God, we're so grateful, so grateful. And so Lord, would you bless Ryan and the staff, bless them, provide for them, guide them. God, there's another hill ahead, and it's going to be great. But right now, we enjoy this moment in time. Together, we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.